They still hooked on Christmas.
That's still a year away.
Oh.
that beautiful church. Praise the Lord. All is well if you're a child of God, because our Lord and Savior came to this earth, died on the cross for our sin, was buried, and rose again 3 days later. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you all so much for doing that on such short notice. I was really going to put them on the spot and make them sing a song. I didn't even tell them to sing. Just rapid fire, whatever you hear, you sing it, brother. That's why I was going to test your skills. I'm going to see how instant in season he really was. But if you've got a copy of God's Word with you tonight, and I hope you do, we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and you may have already seen that on the screen, and that's why I don't hear many pages turning to that, or nobody brought their Bible. I hope the first one is true, that you brought your Bible and you've already turned there. But 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you have found your place, please stand in reverence to God's holy word, and that way I know that you have found your place. So 2 Timothy chapter number 1, as we think tonight on the best New Year's resolution. The Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this privilege that you've given me tonight to open your word and proclaim it to your people. Lord, I pray that you would empty me completely of myself. Lord, and I pray that you'd fill me, Holy Spirit, control me completely. Clothe me in the armor of God and protect me from the fiery darts of the wicked one as I strive to preach your word. Please help me to rightly divide it. Please help me to say exactly what needs to be said, nothing more and nothing less. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to each and every heart in the room tonight, or watching online, or listening later on the website. Lord, I pray that you would speak to every ear that is hearing this message and this service tonight. And Lord, if there be anybody in our presence tonight that does not know you, I pray tonight would be the night that you would open their eyes, Lord, that you would quicken them, open their eyes to their need for you, and that you would draw them to you in repentance and faith tonight, and give them the faith to trust you as their Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, I love you. I pray you'd speak to us now from your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So as we know, I think Sunday morning is January 1st. Is that right? This coming Sunday morning will be January 1st. And I would assume that there are many New Year's resolutions in the room. Now, you don't have to tell me. You don't have to nod. You may not want me to know. But this time of year is the big, big thought, like, hey, we get a fresh start on Sunday. We get a new slate, a clean year. Some may be, this year, I'm gonna work out and I'm gonna lose weight. And to be honest with you, that is mine. As I need to, Carrie's too good of a cook. I blame her, but I need to shed some of my winter coat so that I can be healthier for my family. And some may have the New Year's resolution to read more or to quit a bad habit that you may have. Many people in the room have New Year's resolutions, I'm sure. But tonight, I want to point out the best New Year's resolution, and that is to rekindle or to restoke our walk with God. Because if all of our New Year's resolutions and our goals are fleshly and outward, which all those are good, but if we don't have one spiritually to get closer, to be closer to God in 2022, or in 2023, I should say, than we were in 2022, then we've got a problem. See, until we get to heaven, we will never have arrived and got to that spiritual plane where we could say, I'm here, I can kick back and relax till we get to heaven. No, we should every single day, every single year, strive to know God better. And we see this in this text before us tonight, ways we can do that. We see here a discouraged Timothy having been separated from Paul, who has been imprisoned, as we know. And he, Paul is writing this to Timothy to encourage him, to exhort him, to press on in the faith, to grow in the Lord, to rekindle. We see here the abilities and the things the Lord has given him. And I want to use this text tonight by God's grace as we look at it to challenge us in this coming year to rekindle our walk with God. You may say, well, my walk with God is better now than it's ever been. Praise the Lord, that is wonderful. But guess what? It can get better. God wants it to get better. God wants you to get closer to Him. God wants you to know Him better. God wants you to see more of Him. God wants to do greater things through you in 2023 than you can even imagine. The Bible says far beyond what we can even ask or think. We can't even comprehend what God wants to do in and through us. He wants to take us to new places by His grace in 2023. And I want to point out how we can do that. Number one tonight, as we look at verses 3 through 5, I want to point out, if we're going to make this New Year's resolution to get closer to God, to rekindle our walk with the Lord in 2023, it starts with remembering. Starts with remembering. The Bible says, I thank God, verse number 3, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Timothy here was discouraged and downtrodden, not knowing what he was going to do, because his father in the faith was imprisoned, and Paul was bringing some things to his remembrance in hopes that it was, by God's grace, would motivate him to wake up and to rekindle that flame in his heart once again. And what are some things I believe that we need to remember if we're going to rekindle that flame in our hearts? The first thing I want to point out is, we need to remember, in regards to our salvation, the developments that led to it. What I mean by that is, I got to thinking today about my spiritual heritage that God has given me, and what God did in the life of my family before I ever got to the point where He was going to deal with me about salvation. I got to thinking about how a few short years before I got saved, my mom and dad were not saved. They were going to church. They had both claimed to be Christians, but they both later on stated that they had made a false profession years before. And the Lord, by His grace, dealt. There was a revival going on at Central Baptist Church, my home church. A preacher by the name of Ed Velo. I don't know if anybody here has ever heard that name before. He was older, and I think it was 97 when that happened. But he was preaching at Central Baptist Church, and this revival went on for weeks and weeks. In this revival, my dad got saved, my mom got saved. A few months later, my uncle got saved, my aunt got saved, my uncle surrendered a call to preach. God did great things in that. And I just got to thinking about how God brought that in, all that into play, because my dad said the night that the Lord had dealt with him, now you've heard me tell this before, the night he got saved, when God was dealing with his heart, he was holding me in his arms. He felt like God was letting him know. He said, tonight is your last opportunity. My dad's exact words were, he said, it's now or never, big boy. He felt like God was giving him one last chance to be saved. I was thinking today, where would I be today if he hadn't got saved that night? if he hadn't repented of his sin and placed his faith in Jesus Christ. We may have never met before. I may have never been saved, but I just praise the Lord that my dad surrendered. He repented of his sins, placed his faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A few short months later, my mom came to faith in Christ, and my mom and dad got on fire for God. And they were taking me to church prior to that, but they began to take me to church faithfully. They began to instill the Word of God within my heart and was helping me memorize Scripture. I can remember sitting at my house with my mama, and she'd just be sitting there singing hymns that she was listening to for church, and all those things was instilled in my heart. And then as a little 8-year-old boy, I praise God, the Lord dealt with me. And as far as I can recall, the very first time the Lord dealt with my heart, I repented of my sins and placed my faith in Him. And I praise God for that. And your story may not have been that way. You may not have had much of a spiritual legacy but prior to that, but guess what? You've got things you can look back at and say, thank you, Lord, for that. I thought about my grandfather who lived a wicked life. And we believe by God's grace, we believe he got saved very close to the day he died. And to be honest with you, I believe my grandfather's in heaven today saying thank you for cancer. Because that's what it took, I believe, to get him flat on his back before he would look up and realize he needed God. I prayed for my grandfather to be saved before I even was saved. My mom and dad had me praying for him in my nightly prayers that the Lord would save my grandfather. And I praise God, I believe he did. And I believe he's in heaven today thanking the Lord for cancer. I believe there are people today that will one day when they're in heaven, they'll say, thank you, Lord, for the war in Ukraine. I've heard countless stories of people coming to faith in Christ because of what's going on there right now. It's a terrible thing. Many people are suffering. Many people are dying. Many people are having a hard time. But many people are coming to faith in Christ because of that. When you look at your spiritual heritage and you look at all God did to get you to that point, you can look back at it and say, thank you, Lord, for doing that. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. So we need to remember the developments that led up to us getting saved. And we see that in the life of Timothy here. Paul deals with that. It says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned, that means sincere faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. He's saying, Timothy, remember the faith of your mom and your grandmother, your spiritual heritage that God gave you. The foundation that was laid before you ever came to faith, and then he came to faith. We need to remember the developments that led to our conversion, but also we need to, if we're going to rekindle that flame in our hearts, we need to remember the day we got saved. Now, I'm not saying that you need to know the exact date, the exact second, the exact hour, because many people don't know that question, don't know that answer. Now, I praise God I do, but my mom was very serious about it. So the moment I placed my faith in Christ, almost immediately she said, write this down in your Bible right now. So I've known from the beginning the date and basically the time. But it's not about the date or the time. It just matters that there was a day that you repented of your sin and placed your faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to ask you tonight. Has there been a day where you did that? A time in your life where you remember you called upon God, asked Him. Now, I'm not saying your mom and dad prayed for you. I'm not saying someone else did something. I said, is there a time where you called out to God? I'm not saying, did you say the perfect words or do the perfect thing? Because there's no perfect prayer to pray to be saved. It's more about the heart than the words. But is there a time where you called upon God and asked Him to forgive you of your sins and save your soul? If you're saved, you'll have a point in your life where you did that. And what a glorious time that was. I thank God for that. I was in a revival with Brother Daniel Buchanan. But that night, I think you maybe heard my aunt tell the story. I came to church, and I didn't realize it, but maybe the Lord was dealing with me the night before. And I came to her and sat down beside her, and I didn't know this till years later. I said, I think I'm going to get saved tonight. Because the Lord had been, I guess, stirring me, but I didn't know what it was until that night when he did it. So she said, you go sit with your dad. I guess she didn't want to mess it up if that were to be the case. And by God's grace, just a few short minutes later before the preaching ever started. And I want everyone in here to know this as well. You don't have to wait till preaching's over to do business with God. Let me say that. You don't have to wait till I'm done to come down here and pray. Okay? If you need to do business with God, do it now. You may be the key to the whole service. I believe I've been that key on the good side of that and the bad side. I believe I've been the key where, by God's grace, I stepped out in faith and did what He wanted me to do, and God did great things. But I believe I've also been the key where I didn't do what God wanted me to do. And I believe it killed the whole service. It's a serious thing. If God's telling you to do something, do it. Do it now, okay? No one in here is going to have any problem with you doing business with God. I want you to know that. Because I don't think I've ever said that before. But if the Lord's dealing with you, do business now. And that's what I did that night. I'd been trained that way. And when the Lord dealt with my heart, I tugged on my dad's arm. I said, "Dad, I believe I need to be saved." And we went down, and best I knew how, I called upon God. And upon the authority of the Word of God, He saved me that night. And I praise God for that. If you're saved, you had a time when that happened. I'm not saying that you know the information. I'm saying there's a time where you called upon God. And the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Not might be, could be, but shall. You will if you'll call upon His name. And I praise God for that. And that was April 10th, 2001. But not only do we need to remember the developments that led up to our conversion, the day of our conversion, but the deliverance that came from our conversion. Now, when I got saved, I didn't fully grab a hold of everything that happened in my heart at that moment. But as you get in the Word of God and you see what happens in the heart of people that get saved, that night I was literally raised from the dead. As an 8-year-old boy, God raised a dead man to life again and forgave every one of my sins, past, present, and future, all forgiven. God did that for me. You say, "Well, you were just a little boy. You hadn't done too many bad things. It must have been easy for God to do that." God, I heard people say that God had to reach way down to get me. Hey, guess what? God had to reach just as far down to get me. It's not what you've done. It's what you are. See, when you get in the Word of God and you realize what you are, you realize how even if you were like me, saved at a young age, I was still a low down, rotten, dirty, nasty sinner. The best 5 seconds of my life was filthy rags, the Bible said. And God chose to save me, deliver me, forgive me, wipe all my sins away, raise me from death unto life. I was delivered on April 10th, 2001. And I praise God, if you're here tonight and you're saved, but you've got something you're struggling with, you can be delivered from that. You know why? Because you're a child of God. Now, we still battle this sinful flesh, and we struggle with things. But God does, it's not in His design for you to struggle with that forever. God wants to give you deliverance. If He can literally raise you from death to life, like raising Lazarus from the grave, that's what He did in us. He can give you deliverance over whatever you're struggling with. If you'll let Him. If you'll ask Him, if you'll completely turn it over to Him, He will deliver you from everything. He can, but you got to believe Him too. So remember the developments. Remember the day of our salvation. Remember the deliverance, but also remember the designation. What I mean by that, the name that we were given. Remember, we talked about this when we were in 1 John. Now are we the sons of God. I may, if I were to one day be called the President of the United States, and right now, that doesn't seem like an office that we would want very much. But that is in the past been one of the highest ranks in the world. That still higher than that is the designation, the naming, the calling, a child of God, a son of God. The highest rank you'll ever be given is a son or daughter of God. That's the highest one you'll ever be given. And see, when you realize, like Pastor Daniel talked about a few weeks ago, when you realize who you are, what you are, why He saved you. See, God didn't just save us to save us from hell. Now, thank God, that's a byproduct of us, of our salvation. Now, thank God, we're not going to hell. Our sins are forgiven. We have the hope of heaven. But God saved you with the plan in place for your life. He's got something He wants you to do. So we see the designation, but also the delegation. God's got a plan for you. Really, God's got a plan for everybody. That plan starts with salvation. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And once you're saved, God's got a grand plan to use you for his glory, to further his kingdom, to share the good news of the gospel. Paul wanted Timothy to remember where it all started. He wanted Timothy to remember what God had done in his heart. He wanted Timothy to remember that he was a child of God. Paul here, when he was remembered, he says, "I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day." Paul, every time he thought of Timothy, he thanked God for Timothy and the work that Timothy had done with him. Paul was encouraged by that, and he wanted Timothy to be encouraged by that as well. And I see so many people in this room that is an encouragement and a challenge to me and an example to me and a help to me. But maybe you're like Timothy and you don't realize that yourself. Go back to the beginning. Go back to where it started. Go back. Remember what God did for you. Remember who you are in Christ. And it'll motivate you to fulfill your purpose, and it will enable you to rekindle that flame in your heart. So we see it starts with remembering. Number two, then there will be rekindling. Verse number 6. "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hand." Stir up. That literally means to stoke. A lot of people did some stoking over the past few days. I don't miss a wood stove, but I'm glad that I had the opportunity to use one so that I would know what it was like. But the Lord wants us to do that really every day in our hearts. If you want to, Jason, when you were kindling that fire in your house, you didn't just put wood in it once and leave it and then stay warm for 3 days. No. If you'd have done that, Rebecca would have been ready to kill you because the house would have been cold. But instead, she was ready to kill you because it was too hot. But so it's a losing battle. But that's what we've got to do in our heart. It's not a one-time thing. That's not how you tend to a flame, where you light it once, you throw gasoline on it, and then expect it to burn forever. I mean, yes, you throw gasoline on a fire, there'll be a big explosion, but that fire's going to go out at some point. And I think, and that reminds me of great services or revivals or great moves of God, or days where God does great things in your heart. Yes, those are days where the Lord throws gasoline on the fire, but if you don't kindle that flame and fuel that fire correctly, it's going to go down again. You can't ride, spiritually, you cannot ride the emotional roller coaster. That's how I was. That's one of the reasons why I doubted my salvation as a young Christian. Because I didn't feel saved all the time. I thank God my salvation, it's not determined by how I feel. Thank God. It's not determined by how I feel, because if it was, I would be saved today, but maybe not tomorrow. Thank God it's not in me. It's in God. It's in the hand of Jesus. The Bible says we're in his hand and nothing can pluck us from his hand. But we've got to rekindle that flame. How can we do that? First, by removing. When we think about the wood stove analogy, before you can get the flame to burn hot, you've got to remove the dead ashes, don't you? You've got to get the things out of the stove that are preventing the fire from burning as hot as it can. And if we want to rekindle that flame in 2023, we need to take a step back and take a spiritual assessment and say, what is in our heart or in our life that does not need to be? The Bible talks about in Hebrews chapter 12, it'll lay aside the weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Obviously, we know things in our life that is sin. We know upon the authority of what the Bible says, we need to repent of it and get it out immediately. But maybe there are some things in our lives as children of God, as Christians that are striving to serve God, that maybe aren't not necessarily bad, but they're keeping us from being as effective as we can be for God, as he wants us to be. We need to take that spiritual assessment. And when you say, that's what we need to say, "Lord, search me and know me and see if there be any wicked way in me." Say, is there something in my life that it's not necessarily wrong, but it's keeping me from being as effective as I can be? Whatever it is, point it out. Give me the grace to get rid of it And you may think, but that's something I really enjoy and something that it'll take a piece of my life and I won't be the same if it goes away. But there is a principle all throughout the Word of God where if God takes something out, He will replace it with something better. He'll do it. That's what God wants to do. The lost world thinks that God's a great killjoy and He wants Christians to be miserable and not to never enjoy anything. But that's of the devil. God wants to take things out of our life so He can put His things in our life so that we can have the joy that He wants us to have. The Bible, like it talks about the joy of thy salvation, it says. There's got to be some removing. We need to ask the Lord, what's in our life that doesn't need to be? That is, if you want to rekindle that fire in your heart. Just like stoking the wood stove, you've got to get rid of the dead ashes. But there's also got to be, next, relinquishing. If you're going to get a fire hot, it's got to have some air, doesn't it? So when you are starting to stoke that flame, you may have a few coals at the bottom. You shake the dead ashes out. You open up all the doors so that it can get air into the stove, because air is how the flame gets hot. That's the same thing in the life of a child of God. The Holy Spirit is the power source that enables us to do everything that we need to do. If we're going to get anywhere for God, if we're going to rekindle this flame, guess what? It's not going to be me. It's not going to be you. All we can do within our flesh is fail. That's it. And we do it well. I do it well. Anything good that I do, it's by the Holy Spirit doing it through me. So when I say relinquishing, we've got to surrender to God and say, I can't do it, but you can. The Bible says, Romans 12:1, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Lay your body on the altar before God and say, I give it to you. I sacrifice it, give it to you, a living sacrifice to be used for your glory. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, I believe verse 18, it says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled or controlled by the Spirit. And it literally means be ye being filled. Yet another proof of continually surrendering. It's not a one-time thing, but an everyday thing. We've got to surrender to the control of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman and will not force Himself on any of us. But He is ready and prepared to do great things in and through us if we will surrender to Him and allow Him to do what He wants to do in and through us. So by removing, by relinquishing, and here's another one. This kind of goes with the removing, but by right fueling. Okay, so you've opened up the doors. You're getting air to it to get the coals that are left a little hot. You've got rid of all the dead ashes, but then you get a big old wet log and rained on for weeks and it's soaking wet and you throw it in the fire. Is that going to do any good? I mean, it may burn later on, but it's going to be a while. You may have some weird smoke, or maybe you take some dirt and you throw it in a fire. You can't just throw anything in a fire and expect it to burn hot. That's why I say it's got to be the right fueling. If you want your house to be warm and the fire to burn long, you got to have the proper wood, don't you, Jason? You got to have the proper wood. So that when you got, it's got to be nice and dry. You throw it in there. I know there's different types of wood that burn a little differently, but you got to fuel the fire correctly. And if we want that fire to burn in our heart, we've got to remove the things in our life that don't need to be there. But we've got to fuel our hearts, our lives with things that fuel that fire and cause that flame to burn hotter. I think of that account. I believe it's in one of the Gospels. It talks about how a man, when he is delivered, basically, it's like a house that is clean, but then because that house is not filled with anything else, it comes back seven times worse than it was. Yes, let's clean house in our heart, but let's fill it with godly things. Let's get the bad things out, but let's fill it with the Word of God. Let's get the bad TV shows out, but let's fill it with things that honor God, that when we see it, it makes us want to be more like Jesus and draw nearer to Him than instead of seeing it, make us want to be more like the world. We've got to fuel our heart with the right things, and ultimately, the biggest one is the Word of God. This is the main one. This is the best wood that can keep our fire hot the longest. Not a special service where God shows up and does something special, although that's great, but that will not make your fire burn very long. Daily communication with God through His Word and through prayer, faithfully doing that. You know, it doesn't have to be a lot. I would rather you read a little bit every day for 365 days than read a whole lot for just a few days. But faithfully get in the Word. Have devotion time with God. There's a lot of people in ministry today, and I have realized how hard this is over my first year and a half or so of pastoring. It's real easy to do as a pastor. But the devil tries to make it hard for you to have that devotion time with God. Because doing without devotion, there's no power in that. The devil wants us to do. He's cool with that as long as there's no touch of God on it. So there won't be any touch of God on it unless I faithfully spend time with God every day in His Word and speak to Him in prayer. That's where the power is at. We've got to be right fueling, and then there's got to be refueling. And you say, well, I read my Bible today, Pastor Tyler, I'm good for 6 months. That fire's going to go out, ain't it, Jason? Going to burn, it's going to go out. You got to fuel that fire every day. Just like you got to stoke the wood stove every day, you got to get the dead coals out every day. You've got to open the doors to get the air in every day. You've got to fill it with the right wood every day. It's a process of doing it over and over and over and over again. And to be honest with you, it's hard at first. You say, this year I'm going to read through the Bible. 2023, I'm going to read all the way through. It's going to be tough. The devil is going to make it hard. At first, you're going to be bored stiff. That's your flesh, okay? That's not your spirit. Your spirit is never bored with the Word. But you've got to mortify. The Bible talks about mortify your flesh, kill it. That means take control of your body. That's why Paul says, I bring my body into subjection. We need to know that our body's not in control of us. We're in control of it. And that's why so many people, that they start to read their Bible, but they get up. They say, well, I'm not getting anything from it. That's because you let your flesh win. I've been there. I've let my flesh win. That's why we've got to surrender to the Holy Spirit. And as we do it faithfully, we will develop a hunger for it, because we're killing our flesh and we're allowing the Spirit to come to the forefront, and we will hunger for it. But we've got to refuel every single day. So we see it starts with remembering, then there will be a rekindling, verse 6, and then we see the results in verse number 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you do all these things and you walk faithfully with God, kind of like Enoch did, the Bible talks about, walk with Him every day. Enoch lived for 365 years, walked with God. I believe that's an example for us. You know, it's possible for you to walk with God for 365 days from January 1st to December the 31st. If you'll surrender to the Holy Spirit and enable Him to work through you, you can walk with God for 365 days if you allow Him to do it through you. We see here verse number 7, the results. If we'll do these things, some great things happen. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. What does God give us? By His grace, if we'll walk with Him, if we'll kindle that fire, if we'll remove what doesn't need to be there, relinquish our will to the Holy Spirit, fill our hearts with the right things, refuel every day faithfully, He'll give us first, I believe, capability. God will give us the ability to do what He tells us to do. You say, well, I can't witness. I can't teach Sunday school. I can't sing in the choir. I can't do this and I can't do that for God. And guess what? In your flesh, you're exactly right. You can't do it. God wants to do it through you. And if you'll walk with Him and surrender to Him and draw nigh Him, He will give you the ability. The Bible says, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power to do what? He was going to give them a capability to proclaim the Word of God to those around them. But not only the capability, because if somebody has the ability but doesn't have the courage, what good is the ability? There's a lot of people today, and a lot of Christians today, that know what to do. They know the words to say, but they don't have the courage to say them. You know why? Because they're not letting the Holy Spirit have control. You cannot muster the courage. The Holy Spirit wants to give you that courage and that boldness, but we've got to walk with God faithfully every single day. Me and Brother Joe were talking about how there are many times where he's been called from the floor to sing a song with Miss Heather. And he said there was some time where they'd say, okay, Brother Joe, why don't you come preach for us? And he said, yeah, in those times you got to really be walking with God before you ever get there if you want God to use you in that moment, because you had no preparation time. What if we haven't been walking with God, but God's got a plan for us at the gas station to witness to that one person we're going to come into contact with, but we're not prepared, so we miss the opportunity? And what if they wreck on the way home and die, and God wanted to speak to them through us? How sad is that? That's why we need to be instant in season and out season. That's not just for preachers, but for Christians. God wants to use us. He will give us the capability. He will give us the courage. And here's another one that we do not have in ourselves. He will give us the charity, the love. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. See, our flesh is all about me. It's all about myself. It's all about I. You know, the only way we will have the right heart toward other people is if the Holy Spirit gives it to us. If He produces that within us. And He's not going to do that if we're not fueling that fire in our hearts. And a lot of times we can gauge where we're at spiritually. And if we've been in the Word of God and walking with God faithfully, and if we're where we need to be with Him, about how we feel about other people. How we treat other people. Times in my life where I haven't been where I need to be with the Lord, walking as closely as I need to be, I didn't really have much love for other people. You know why? Because I was controlled by the flesh and not the Spirit. The Spirit produces that love, not the flesh. He'll give us capability. He'll give us courage. And He'll give us, it's all the Bible says here, a sound mind. We will be controlled. What I mean by that is we'll think clearly. We won't be being controlled by our flesh, but we'll be being controlled by the Spirit, and we will look at every situation not as man looks at it, but as God looks at it. And then in those moments where it may get hard and it may get tough, but because we've been walking with God, we're sober-minded, and in that moment, we see what God's trying to teach us or show us or do in us. Or there have been times in my life where I'm in the flesh and I miss an opportunity for God to do a work in my heart that He wanted to do. See, you walk faithfully with God, and when you get in hard times, it'll be your natural response just to rely on the Lord. To be like Hezekiah. What did he do? Great example in the Word of God. Every time but one, Hezekiah, trouble came. What did he do? He immediately called upon God. You know why he did that? It wasn't like he was just some anomaly that could do what he wanted. And then when trouble came, his first thought was to call upon God. No, I believe that man walked with God. And guess what? That man walked with God when he had a wicked daddy. You know, your situation doesn't have to dictate your walk with God. You say, well, you just don't know my home life, Pastor Tyler. That doesn't have to dictate your walk with the Lord. You just don't know who I work with and what I have to hear on a daily basis. That don't have to dictate your walk with God. You can still be a light. You can still be example. You can still be filled with the Spirit, have the joy of the Lord, be used by God in whatever that situation is. That's a lie of the devil. You think, well, I'm just in a rough situation. I can't be used by God. God puts you there to use you if you'll let Him. God wants to do great things through us. He wants us to have a clear mind, look at every situation through a biblical lens, so that when we see it, we will not fear, but we'll have peace. That's why so many Christians are worrying and fretting today, because they're looking at it through their fleshly eyes instead of through the lens of the Bible and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. He wants us to be sober-minded, and we can be if we'll remember those things. We'll continually rekindle that flame in our heart. And it's an everyday thing. Faithfully, every day. And what a great New Year's resolution that is, to just say, Lord, I'm going to, by your grace, strive to kindle that flame every day. I'm going to strive to cut out 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever it may be, and spend time with you. Stoke that flame. And I want to encourage you, as you do that, God will honor that. God will bless that. God will transform you from the inside out. He's done it for me. He can do that in you if you'll let Him. So may the Lord help us this year. If we've got, we may have all kinds of different New Year's resolutions, but the best one needs to be for all of us. This year, I'm going to strive to walk with God every day. Every day. Now, the devil's going to fight that. He's going to fight that in my heart. He's going to fight that in yours. He knows what I'm preaching. You pray for me. I'm sure Brother Joe knows this. You preach it, and then as soon as you get off, but you leave the pulpit and you get home, the dam breaks loose and the floodgates open. And the devil wants to basically make you do the opposite of what you just preached. That's why we've got to walk with God faithfully and rely upon the Holy Spirit every single day. God's got big plans for 2023 in your life specifically and in our church. But will we walk with Him so that He can fulfill that? May God help us. The key is you saying, not saying, okay, I'm going to do it. If what did Peter say? I will never deny thee. You know why? Hey, that was his flesh saying that. That wasn't his spirit. You saying, I'm going to do it. I mean, that's great intentions, but if it's not empowered by the Spirit, that intention will fizzle out just like most New Year's resolutions do. You'll get to Leviticus. I encourage you this year, if it is your goal to read through the Bible for the first time, press through Leviticus. Press through. And I encourage you, after you get through it the first time, and then you get to Hebrews on the back end of your reading plan, and then you'll see the whole picture, and it gets beautiful. But on your first time through the Bible, pray God help you to get through that for that first time. It'll be worth it, I promise. May God help us this year to make, I mean, we can have many New Year's resolutions, but let's be sure to make the one that we're going to walk with God closer than we ever have. In 2023, with every head bowed and every eye closed, as Miss Mary comes to the piano tonight, the altar's open tonight. Maybe you want to come to the altar and say, Pastor Tyler, or call up on the Lord, say, Lord, help me this year to draw closer to you than I ever have before. Maybe you want to come to the altar and say, Lord, search me and know me and see if there be any wicked way in me. If you sincerely call upon God and ask Him to point out things in your life that don't need to be there, He will point them out. And He will, if you'll surrender to Him, He'll give you the grace to get rid of them. Don't leave tonight without doing business with God. People are praying, the altar's open. This way.